T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
What's driving the conversation in California today? Every weekday at this time, we explore a topic that's making news in our state. This is the State of California.
And good afternoon. I'm Doug Sovereign, KCBS political reporter and host of The State of California, along with Megan Goldsby and Jeff Bell.
Today was the second day of marathon questioning of Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett, who stuck to the careful path that she has followed throughout the proceedings.
And California's two U.S. senators were among those trying to get Barrett to admit how she might rule on some of the most important legal questions in American life.
Well, for more, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline today by UC Hastings law professor Rory Little, former federal prosecutor, Supreme Court clerk, frequent KCBS guest. And Rory, thanks again for being with us. First of all, so what struck you today, or even from the 2 days combined, what stood out from these hearings for you?
Well, you know, it's hard to say what's the biggest story. Maybe the biggest story is that Judge Barrett seemed to not make any mistakes, or at least not any major mistakes. And so barring something unexpected, and there still could be some unexpected development, she will be confirmed in a couple of weeks and be on the Supreme Court. I was surprised to hear the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Lindsey Graham, say today, Judge Barrett, you are unabashedly pro-life and we have arrived. Struck me as something she hadn't said, of course. And I hope some people will understand that that's exactly what the Republicans think. But I don't know that there's anything that can prevent the confirmation, because all they need is 50 votes plus the vice president to break a tie.
Rory, I want to ask you about some of the questioning. Let's start with Senator Feinstein. How do you think she did today?
You know, I am a huge fan of Dianne Feinstein, but she did not set out to sort of zing Judge Barrett. She treated Judge Barrett, I thought, graciously and with a lot of politeness. And she wasn't really as up to speed on some of the details on some of the questions about Judge Barrett's opinions as some of the other senators might have been. But she certainly put it, in front of the American people that the Affordable Health Care Act is on the line, that gun control is a big issue, and that this justice is likely to be a Second Amendment fan. And to talk about the right of a woman to choose to terminate a pregnancy. So I think Dianne Feinstein hit all the issues. Of course, the judge refused to answer anything that was anywhere close to a controversial case that might come before the Supreme Court.
Well, let's transfer over to Senator Harris then. She spent decades as a prosecutor in Oakland, San Francisco, and state attorney general. Of course, Senator Feinstein, not a lawyer. She has no formal legal training. So how much of a difference does that make in what they're bringing to these questions?
Well, of course, they're bringing different styles, and they're also bringing different agendas in some sense. I mean, Kamala Harris, I thought yesterday, really did a very effective job on two levels. First, she is a candidate for the vice presidency of the United States, and so she used half her time at least to simply make statements to the American people about the campaign issues that they're campaigning on, and I thought that was done effectively and powerfully. She also directly asked Judge Barrett, are you aware of statements that President Trump made about what he wants in a Supreme Court justice? This is after Barrett was put on a list by Trump publicly, and the judge said, oh, no, I don't think I'm aware of those. That's just not credible, and I think if you were in a court of law, that would be a kind of a zinger moment that Senator Harris got the judge to say something that doesn't sound believable. Is that going to be enough to get anybody to vote against her that wouldn't have otherwise, or vice versa. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, and she said not only did she not know that President Trump, you know, wants a justice who would overturn the Affordable Care Act or Roe v. Wade, today she said she doesn't know where he stands on climate change. I mean, doesn't that undermine her credibility a bit? I mean, unless she lives under a rock, how could she not know any of these things?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Doug, that it does undermine her credibility. I don't think anybody, if the average American is paying attention, I don't think that they're going to hold this against her in terms this is an ideological nomination, and on the ideological point she has sort of scored the right scores. But yeah, I do agree that I think she was dissembling when she said, gee, I'm just innocent of knowing anything about what Trump might want or what Trump cares about. And I don't really understand why you wouldn't admit to that. I don't understand why you wouldn't just say, well, yeah, I read those comments, but they won't affect me as a justice. That would have been a better response.
Barrett has quoted RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, saying no hints, no forecasts, no previews. During her confirmation, though, didn't Ginsburg say how she felt about a number of issues?
She did, but really I don't think about issues that she hadn't already written about. So, for example, Justice Ginsburg was vociferously in favor of Roe versus Wade and the woman's right to choose. But, of course, she'd been advocating that position both in court and in writing as a law professor for years. And she actually had written a little bit critical of Roe the year before she was nominated to the Supreme Court, which was somewhat surprising. I think ever since Judge Bork was nominated, and he answered some questions pretty candidly, and people didn't like his answers, and then he was not confirmed, I think the lesson has always been stay away from anything that might, you know, hit an issue that even could come sort of hypothetically in front of the court. So I think when she cited to Ginsburg, she was sticking to the playbook, and I think Ginsburg also stuck to that playbook for the most part, unless she had already written about something.
And lastly, you'd mentioned that she obviously isn't saying herself that she's pro-life, but that she's been called out today as being unashamedly pro-life. So why can't she just say that if we're going through the motions here?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, really, why they couldn't. I think everybody's just afraid of being borked, right? Borking has become a verb. And they're afraid that if they say something that commits them on such a controversial issue, that then somebody will switch their vote, particularly with some senators facing some really close elections. I mean, Lindsey Graham, who's a Republican, is facing a very close vote right now in South Carolina. So I think, you know, but can you do anything? If she's confirmed, let's say she's absolutely against Roe versus Wade. If she's confirmed, it's not going to matter. She can then vote against it. Once you have life tenure, you can sort of get away with almost anything you want. So I think there's a little bit of cultural fear here rather than any realistic real problem. And, you know, someday we're going to get a nominee who's going to tell the truth, and that'll be refreshing, I think.
Thank you. We look forward to that day. And we'll, when that happens, we'll have you on the radio to discuss it then, too. Thank you so much, Rory. UC Hastings Law Professor Rory Little. We hear him often on KCBS. I'm sure he'll be back during this process. You can hear The State of California every weekday at 3:30 p.m. It's also available at kcbsradio.com and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm on Twitter at Sovereign Nation. I'm Doug Sovereign, KCBS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.